Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday we started off the week shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew, and we continued our conversation of I'm married, but I do miss sleeping alone. Oh my goodness gracious, as Tamika said it, you know, sometimes you want to be in the Y position, but we can't do that. Oh, sometimes we want to be in the X position. Oh, can't do that either. Oh, my goodness. But what about hogging all the covers? You know how you want to hug in those covers? But you just can't. You got to remember to share, share, share. All right now. Oh, we talked about sleeping in. Oh, my goodness. Sleeping, you know, I just want to just stay asleep there for a little while longer. Oh, but as was described, we then got up, turned on the light, put the TV on, turned on the radio and started cleaning up. There goes that sleeping in time. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And what about being able to focus on work without feeling guilty? Yes. You know, some of us who work at home, you know, we're always working. You know, it's so much easier to do that. And, you know, when you're in that work mode, you just get yourself together and you just work, work, work. You know, it's something that you don't even think about doing. It's just automatic for you. Well, you got to remember that someone else is at home with you. And you can't just work, work, work like there's nobody else but you. Okay? All right. And, you know, what else? What else? Oh, traveling spontaneously. Yes, yes. Alrighty. And, you know, again, you want to be able to jump up and go. But, you know, you just can't get that done. You can't get that. You can't do that. Can't jump up and go. What do you want to say to your spouse? Oh, I forgot you were in the house. Oh, I forgot you were at home. Oh, I forgot to tell you, babe. I'm sorry. But I'm in Mexico right now. Oh, we can't do stuff like that. You know? So, let's remember that, you know, we are married now. And, you know, we just want to pray about all of these little things before we actually say, I do. Because it's one thing to, you know, kind of miss them and, you know, still get adjusted to, you know, being married. You know, it's nothing wrong. It's an adjustment. But, you know, some people just don't get out of certain things. And we want to make sure that we take this to the Lord in prayer. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, considering that it was Monday, we could not close it down without our switch tip with Shantice. And yesterday, she told us to appreciate your spiritual wisdom. You know, they are, it's not easy to sometimes apply what you're getting from the Lord into your everyday life. It's not always that easy, because you know you gotta make sure that you put your own earthly, you know, thoughts and applications to the side. And a lot of times we don't get an opportunity before we let that get overridden, that spiritual wisdom. You know, we let that get overridden with our own desires and things like that. You know, and we kind of stomp our feet and fold our arms and pout, because you really got to do the right thing. And not all the time, let's be honest. Come on, you know how it is. Sometimes we don't always want to do the right thing. And that's that spiritual wisdom that she's talking about. You know, because once you have the Spirit of the Lord, you're going to get that spiritual wisdom. And that's the best gift we could have ever gotten. And, you know, it would behoove you to put your own logic, wisdom, quote-unquote, on the side. You know, don't let the earthly side of us or the worldly side of us or the fleshly side of us, you know, get the best of us. You know, once you have been given that spiritual wisdom, you want to make sure that you activate it at all times. You know, because we can suppress it. Oh, yeah. You know, and understand that it's a gift, and it's there to be used at all times. So appreciate it. You know, don't get mad and, you know, put it on the, you know, side, or put it up in the drawer, or, you know, put it underneath the bed. No, because as you can see, you know, as we go through these news stories, there's a lot of spiritual wisdom needed, and a lot of people don't have it. So now that you have it, you want to make sure that you appreciate it and subsequently use it, you know. So give God thanks that he's decided to choose you, and you answered back. And now utilize and activate that spiritual wisdom and appreciate it for what it is and what it can do. Oh, and how it can take you through life and how it will definitely benefit you to use it. So when you appreciate it, you ultimately use it. Okay? All right. Well, today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. Yes, it is. And we got some talking to do. Get those pens up, because I got a little bit of information to give you. And we got to get our day underway. You know how that goes. We got to appreciate that wisdom and use it this morning. All right, so go get that healthy breakfast. Go tell your friends and family and coworkers and all the people you know That is Due Time with Pastor Steph is on, and we are going to be rocking today because we got a lot to talk about. All right? And make sure you go nowhere because we're going to be right back.
I'm Joe Flacco, quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. I'm also a proud supporter of the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. My niece Chelsea was born with cystic fibrosis. CF is a rare disease that shortens lives. The CF Foundation is making great progress towards a cure, but we're not in the end zone yet. We still lose young people to CF every day. I want Chelsea and all people with CF to live long and full lives. Join a team that saves lives. Support the search for a cure today.
Well, good morning, and good morning to you again. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. And we're already at Tuesday. Oh, my goodness gracious. That is so good. You know, before you know it, time starts flying by, and before we know it, we are well into the weekend. That has been so good to us. We woke up in our right frame of mind, and, you know, we can talk, okay? So, let's get to chat. Well, like I said, get those pens out because we're going to talk about the worst habits for your joints. Okay. All right. We're talking about that joint pain today. Yeah, you know we're getting older. Okay. Those of them joints be aching. Number one, the worst habit for our joint pain. No, for our joints. Not for our joint pain. For our joints. Smoking! Now, I'm hoping that I'm talking to very few smokers who listen to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, because we already know what smoking does. But, not that you need another reason to give up those cigarettes if you are smoking by any chance. But smoking does a number on your joints. Listen, you've seen those commercials on TV about those joints and the people have to get the toes and fingers and stuff amputated. Yeah, it ain't no joke. Okay? They say the nicotine in cigarettes narrows the blood vessels and as a result, restricts the amount of oxygen and critical nutrients that reach the joint cartilage. And that can result in cartilage loss. All right? And that's what's surrounding the joint fluid and the bone. Okay? Not only that, it turns out that smoking also ups your risk for osteoporosis. We all know what that is. That's, you know, the weakening of your bones. And when you do that, when you have that, now you have the risk of your bones being weakened. And because of your bones being weakened, I should say, your hips, your back, yeah, all of those kind of things. And you know, as you get older, you know, people have those broken hips and they start bending over more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They say that that is worse for people who smoke. You know, because our bones are already getting brittle as we get older. I don't care how much calcium you take or drink or eat. Okay? You got to remember that as we get the same old bones, we don't get no bone transplants. The same bones we were born with. So think about all the abuse that it has taken over the years. And now you're going to add smoking to it, and it's going to hit the joints up even more. Okay? Number two, a physically inactive lifestyle. Now, for you couch potatoes, you people who don't want to, you know, do any exercise or walk or anything like that, they say that that extra weight and those extra pounds is definitely brutal on our joints. Yeah. You know how you feel. You can't get, you got to get up extra early. Your knees start to bother you. Yeah. Okay. So they say in order to keep your body better and them joints better, they say do at least 30 minutes of joint-friendly exercise. Okay. 5 days a week. At least 5 days a week. You get 2 days off if you do 30 minutes of joint-friendly exercises, then your body and your joints will be better, okay? We're talking about the worst habits for our joints, all right? Exercising, okay? Now, you know, exercising can be, you know, quite extensive. You know, if you're sedentary, then, you know, move your legs, move your arms, you know, right from where you sit. You know, they say there are a lot of exercises, you know, that help us even as we're in the bed or in a wheelchair or, you know, as long as we're not paralyzed, we can move. And as long as we can move, we should move. That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. All right? So come on now. Remember, our joints are counting on us. Number four, carrying a heavy load. You know, we're constantly picking up things that we shouldn't. You know, the grandbaby ain't a baby no more. So we can't be carrying the child around or making sure we're picking up those heavy bags and things like that. They say play it safe and use both hands instead of just one. You know, sometimes we kind of lean to, you know, if we are righty, we use our right hand all the time. If we are lefty, they said make sure you even out everything. So if you have to, you know, pick up something that's a little heavier, use both hands. Make sure you squat, don't bend. You know, make sure that you're not picking up anything that's really heavy because it's going to weigh on those joints. And we don't have that ability or that luxury of just doing this thing and not having any type of flare-up later. Okay? So let's make sure. You don't be around here carrying extra things. Get somebody else to do it. Get someone else to do it. There's got to be someone coming around eventually. Okay? Now, number five, they say make sure you eat pro-inflammatory foods. And we talk about this all the time on this due time. Now, red meat, white sugar, french fries, soda, pastries, those cupcakes, ring-dings and ding-dongs, oh, baby, we'll help you do the Macarena. Mm-mm. You're going to have to make sure you put that stuff down. We cannot continually eat that stuff and expect to be able to move well. All right? So they say make sure we eat foods rich in omega-3 fatty acids. We talk about this all the time. So make sure we get that flaxseed oil, that cold water fish like salmon and mackerel. And, you know, we eat those foods that are not going to keep our joints inflamed. How about those leafy greens we're always talking about? Almonds, pistachios, walnuts. Yeah. We talk about this all the time. Those things are going to make sure that our joints are not hurting us as much as they would if we didn't, you know, if we ate those other foods that we have no business eating. Okay? You know, as we get older, we really have to watch what we eat. Because you can tell, let me tell you something. If you ever take the time to eat properly, and you go back to eating something that you were not supposed to eat, oh, you feel it. Oh, you know it, and you feel it. Yep, you sure do. So let's make sure that we are doing what we need to do, and we eat the way we need to eat. So, okay, make sure you get those foods, and we talk all the time about those foods that are anti-inflammatory. Again, we're talking about that salmon, that mackerel. Get those nuts in your system. Those are the things that are going to help us to keep those joints intact. Because when your joints hurt, oh, yeah, you know, I know what that's like. When your joints hurt, you're in a lot of pain. You're in a lot of pain. All righty. So, they say, number six, they say texting. Texting and more texting. All those iPad usage and the laptops and the phones and, yeah, they say it messes with our joints. We're talking about the habits that we have that make our joints hurt, and that's one of them. So they say make sure you take a break and you do more talking than texting. The only thing you got to worry about is your mouth hurting later, but at least your joints won't hurt. Okay? So, well, we got to make sure we keep those habits on the low so we can feel better. All right? All right. Now, what are we talking about today? I got some stories for you. Well, remember a while ago, let's talk about a Tuesday. I got to talk to you. Remember a while ago we had where the man wanted to, the dad wanted to show his daughter, you know, that he could fly. Remember that? They were on some type of a cliff or something, and, you know, it went terribly wrong. Well, clearly, this dad wasn't paying attention to that dad's experience. And this man in Spain was out on a cliff as well. And he misjudged, they say, he misjudged his footing while jumping off a 100-foot cliff. Now, we're doing all these things for photo ops and you know, we want to film, you know, what we do. And he took his wife and his son out on the cliff so he could show them. I don't know. That's the thing I don't understand. I'm still trying to get what he was trying to do when this attempt went horribly wrong. Okay? I'm reading it last night, and I'm reading it, and it says that the half-minute clip started off, you know, well, being rather smooth, but before he could get mid-air, so I don't know if he had a rope around his waist. I'm trying to figure this out. Well, he misjudged, I guess, how close he was to the edge. And before he could really get his bearings on jumping, he fell. And they say he can be heard screaming fearfully. Well, I guess so, because you know you're about to go over this 100-foot cliff. And they say he quickly plummets to the ground, followed by a crashing sound. And they said it sounded bad. Now, there is footage. Now, last night, I couldn't get the footage to pull up because, yeah, I wanted to look at it. Don't judge me. Don't talk about me. Because I really wanted to see what he was trying to do. Like I said, I don't know if he had his rope around his waist or it was, I don't know, y'all, this ain't us. This show ain't us. You know, listen, we're not going to no cliff and doing no photo or video ops. We may do some stupid stuff, but this 31-year-old Dutch tourist, you know, they were in Spain. Like I said, he's with his wife and his son. And he decided to go to some cliff where divers go. What divers? This is the thing to do over here in this area of Spain. And they say, you know, his family is getting counseled. Well, I guess so. I guess they're gonna need it. So here's my thing. Okay, let's talk about this thing. Let's talk about Tuesday. Let's talk about this thing. I got a husband, and he says, "Come on, baby, let's do something fun today." All right, what are we gonna do? Well, I got this great idea. We going over to the cliff, and I'm gonna jump. And I want you to videotape me. You know this ain't us. You know this ain't us. Because I'm not, excuse me. Okay, you know, you need to find something else to do because you must be smoking drugs. No, I'm sorry. Not only am I not going, I'm not videotaping you. I'm not even going. And neither are you. I can hear her cussing him. Yeah. Cussing him out. And our insurance ain't paid up either? Oh, no. And speaking of which, do you think they would pay? Do you think they would pay the insurance company? Do you think that if you had an insurance policy, they would pay that insurance claim? I don't know, y'all. I know, but I know if it was on our side, it says that would be one big question, because that would be like committing suicide. Yeah. you going to take that kind of chance, knowing that something could go wrong? Now, we know you ain't planning for something to go wrong, but you know something could go wrong. So I don't think they would be paying that claim. I don't know. Y'all, come on, hit me up. 347-285-7777. For all of those of you who have insurance, would they pay? Is that in your, is that a clause in your contract that they're going to pay that $50,000 in case you lose your balance standing at the edge of a 100-foot cliff? Come on, y'all. So I ain't got to tell you, whether we in Spain, Monaco, Dubai, New York, Texas, Wisconsin, we ain't going to no cliff and going to get some videotaping. Unless you didn't use some drugs and now, you know, you stupid. But if you, nah. Let me tell you something. Most of us are afraid of heights. Yeah. That's why we ain't going to get up in no airplane and we going to keep going to the same vacation spot every year because we ain't going to go no further than where a plane, you know, that a plane will take us. So I don't know, y'all. I want to know if you believe that they would have this insurance paid off if you did something so dumb and reckless. Okay? All right. All right. So here's a word to the wise for those of us who are going to be traveling this summer. Make sure you watch your credit card receipts, your credit card bills, because there's a woman who visited Montego Bay in Jamaica, and her stay, regardless of how great it may have been during the time they were there, oh, she ain't all that happy. So they go, her and her husband go to Montego Bay, and they end up being scammed from this all-inclusive resort, Sandals. Everybody's heard of Sandals. And they say this claim has gone viral. Her video has gone viral. And she got angry because she felt that, you know, they had not resolved the issue. So she went and posted. So here's the deal. She and her husband booked a couple's massage for $340. Well, do I have to say this ain't us either? I'm sorry. Listen, I know we on vacation, but $340, that's what? $100-something each for us? Well, anyway, they say that it's come to find out she was double charged on her husband's bank, from her husband's bank card. So what they found out was instead of them charging them per couple, they charged them per person. So check this out. They charged him $340 times two. Well, when she looked at her bill, her credit card, she had also been charged the $680. And somehow or another, they ended up, between the two of them, being charged $1,360, which would have been equivalent to four couples and eight, and you know, with meant eight people. So she goes to the, you know, goes to the resort. She tries to get it, you know, taken care of. I guess, you know, right there, whoever charges for the services, and because, you know, that might be a third party. You know, sometimes these people just come on the site and they run this thing. Well, she went to them, and they said, no, you got to go to customer service. Excuse me. So she did that. She didn't get nothing, you know, no satisfaction. She went to her credit card company, and she said she couldn't get the resolve either. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Because most times, they say you can get, like, a check draft done and reversed quicker than they'll do a credit card. Because I've had over the years where they have told me, well, because it was a direct charge on your credit card. Now, we're not talking about those times like we've talked about before, like you give your card. Now we have to put our card in for like Uber and things like that. And when later on you look and see somebody in Jersey, you know, has used a ride and you live in Wisconsin. We're not talking about that. We're talking about like a direct charge. And what happens a lot of times, they say, is because it's a credit card, it's almost like you've used it. So they don't, you know, you'll get a harder time like that. That's probably what may have happened with them. Well, that may have happened. I can't say probably may have happened with her. But that may have happened with her. And that's... how much money they end up losing because what they found was because she posted and said that, a lot of people started canceling their trip there. So they lost a lot of money. Now they claim that she ultimately got her money back within 14 days of them finding out. Now that claim that, you know, she, it was false. Okay? So, I don't know. Watch your credit card bills now that people are going on vacation. You know, you want to make sure that, you know, you don't get overcharged. You don't get charged for things that you didn't, you know, get. Yeah, come on, let's make sure, let's pay attention. And I'm going to tell you something. Oh, they could rip me off from here to eternity. I wouldn't know no difference because a lot of times I miss stuff. But more recently, every month before I pay my bill, I always look at recent transactions. And that's what you have to do. When you go to pay your bill online, look for recent transactions. Just make sure that it's you. Okay, just make sure that it's you that made those, you know, those charges, and that way it's not months later and now you're trying to fight this bill. Okay? So that's just a word to our wives. Let me reposition because I'm getting that you're not hearing me so well. All right. Okay, hopefully you can get me a little better now. All right, so talk about guilt, guilt, guilt. And we got to make sure we don't do things irrationally because there's this woman who says, you know, she's been feeling so guilty because she had her husband sent back to prison. Now, when I saw this headline, I was like, okay, ripped from the headline. What did she do? So here's the deal. Sue, which side of the fence are we on? Sue Sue says that back in 2019, her husband was sent back to prison for a probation violation after she filed a police report and testified in court that he had struck her. More than 3 years later, now she's telling a different story. So she says that at the time, she was angry because she believed her husband was cheating on her. And because she was upset that he was cheating on her, she went and made a false statement that he had struck her and left bruises on her body. And during his violation of the probation hearing, she testified and she told those lies all over again. So the judge sent him back to prison until 2024. Now, this is in 2019, okay? So since then, she's been feeling guilty. And so she went to the judge, you know, she went back to court, and she went before the judge, and she told the story about how she was angry with the husband because, you know, she thought he was cheating on her, and come to find out that he wasn't cheating on her. And the judge doesn't believe her. Oh, my gosh. Oh. He doesn't believe her and refuses to let the husband out. So he has to do another 2 years because we're in 22 now. So he has to do 23 and 20 and until 24. So, you know, you should feel guilty. Yeah, I don't feel sorry for you. You should feel guilty because that's you lied. And look at what happened now. So they interview him, and he says, "I still love Sue." Is this so not us? Oh, my God. You let this have been a brother on the other side of the bars. Even if he had beat her up, slapped her, poked her, put bruises on her, oh, he wouldn't have been forgiven her. No. It would have been World War 93. World War 93. Oh, my goodness gracious. So Tim and Sue are still in love, and he is still sitting in jail till 2024. And she's out here feeling guilty and woo-wooing, and ain't nothing that can do about it. Because, see, they're not going to see her no more. That they're going to see her no more. Now, I don't know why the judge wouldn't believe her. I don't know. Maybe because she made the claim at first, and then she backed it up with such a testimony, or she's testifying, and, you know, she was so believable. And I guess not only that, but he's not retracting his decision because you can't get yourself together. So he said, listen, once a fool, I might be, but twice a fool, I ain't. So guess what? Whatever was going on in y'all relationship, oh, he gonna eat this one. He gonna eat this one. I guess he had, but he should have gotten some of that stuff on the outside because I ain't changing my mind. You may change your mind, but I'm not changing my mind. Because you know what? He let her back out and he lets the guy back out and something happens. He does slap her up or beat her up or whatever. He's still on parole. He's still on probation. You know, he's still out on probation. So then what he's going to do? Take it back? No, man, I'm telling you. All right. So talk about getting your just due. Check this story out. So you have this man in South Carolina who his neighbors saw him in his backyard lying face down. And they called the authorities, and they went and checked, and he was dead. And he had been digging a ditch. So beside him was this shovel and this hole he was digging in his backyard. Okay? So they tried to contact the family. Any next of kin, they said that there was a woman, you know, had a living, you know, girlfriend. They couldn't locate her. They couldn't locate anybody else. And this 60-year-old man was now going to be dead with nobody knowing about it. There was no trauma to the body. So they were like, you know what, he clearly died of a heart attack. Well, come to find out, they reach out to the girlfriend's workplace and they tell him, they tell the authorities, we've been trying to reach her all morning. We can't find her. And we don't know what's going on with her because it's not like her to not be reachable or, she doesn't call in, she doesn't come in, something's wrong. So they continue to investigate. They check around the house and they see that the house had been freshly cleaned, but now they spot some blood. So they go back to where the pit he was digging and they start digging. And they come up with a couple of garbage bags in the pit. Well, he had killed the girlfriend, put the body in the car. After he put it in the garbage bags, he put the body in the car, drove the truck around to the pit where he had already dug. Dropped her in, and while he was burying her, had a heart attack and died right there. Now, God don't let us get away with everything. You know, it's funny. I was talking to someone the other day, and he was asking me. He was like, well, you know, what happens when, you know, people do things and they don't ever look like they pay for anything? And when this story was given to me yesterday, and when I got to this story, the first thing I thought about was that conversation. I said, I'm going to send him this clip. Because, again, you know, I said to myself, listen, we can't dictate, you know, what happens. God says, vengeance is mine. We shouldn't be sitting back waiting for people to get their just due. Because we have to just trust God and know that he's going to handle people the way he's going to handle people. And, you know, we got to, you know, do what we got to do. Just stay faithful to God, and God will be faithful to him, to you. You know, God is the best defense attorney ever. And lo and behold, you drop dead. They always say, you dig one ditch. Listen, watch what you do, because if you dig one ditch, you better dig two, because there's going to be one you're going to need to be in as well. Oh, my goodness gracious. Where am I due time crew at? Oh, Pastor Ed is on with us this morning. Good morning, Pastor Ed.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing?
I am fine, thank you. I am fine. So, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, thank you.
Good. Glad to hear you this morning. Well, Pastor Ed, you tell Raina, you know, life has gotten quite boring, and me and the boys are going to go out here on this cliff, and I'm getting ready to, you know, do some, you know, some flips and stuff, and, you know, I want you to videotape me. What's she saying to you?
Well, first and foremost, There seems to be no chance of our life getting boring over here, trust me. But in the event that I mistakenly thought it had, I can assure you, Raina would have taken a corrective action very quickly and brought me back to reality. That's not happening in our life, not in this family. Nothing along those lines.
Man. Pastor Ed, like you heard me say, this ain't us. This show ain't us. You know, half of us are scared to get up in a plane because we don't want to be up. We afraid of heights. You up there, you want some photo ops and video opportunity to post on social media, you lose your footing and plummet 100 feet to your death. And they said it was quiet. You could hear it. You could hear it. Like I said, I couldn't pull up the video last minute. It wouldn't come up. I see it up. It's up this morning, but I can't look at it right now. But this is just stupid. It's just stupid. You got to be able to do something different and better. You're on vacation, for God's sake. This is how you spend your vacation time, Pastor Ed?
No. First off, you need something more productive, more constructive, meaningful to do in your life, that your life becomes so bored that you would do something reckless like this. I think back on some of the stuff that I did in the line of duty as a military person, and I shudder to think about it. I'm certainly not going to take my civilian leisure time as a civilian and do something that dangerous and that. And I've got a wife and children or a child. No. Those are not the types of risks that it's okay for a responsible husband and father to take.
Absolutely. Truly reckless. Okay, so you got this woman who is feeling guilty because she's responsible for sending her husband back to jail on a probation violation. Now, she gets mad because she thinks he's cheating on her. She goes and tells authorities that he hit her, he left her with bruises, and immediately they send him back to do the rest of his time. So he has to do this time till 2024. Now you wake up one day and you're feeling guilty. You're feeling bad because, you know, now you are realizing that you didn't make the biggest mistake because he wasn't cheating as you thought. And you go back and you tell a judge, you know what, I'm sorry. I got to be honest. I've been feeling bad because I lied and you sent him back to jail. Now, I'm telling you the truth. Can you release him? And the judge says, no, I'm not playing this game off and on, in and out. No. So now he has to spend his time to 2024. Well, here's the thing. Tim still loves Sue, Pastor Ed. Is that love or is that love? Man!
What do they say? Love will make you do some crazy things. I don't doubt. He probably still loves her, but let's just say there's a lot of instability where that relationship is concerned. All kinds of problematic instabilities, trust, honesty, just sensibility. So to say they need some counseling is the understatement of the decade. Obviously, like I said, there's trust issues and issues of honesty, because guess what? When she suspected that he was cheating, or even if he was cheating, though that's wrong, it doesn't justify her lying. You know, saying he did something that he didn't do. So her credibility is completely shot. A judge is not playing around with that. They've got too many cases and backlogs they've got to deal with than to be in these petty domestic he say, she say games, you know, of an immature love, an immature love relationship. I don't remember if you said what their ages were, but it exhibits a great level of immaturity.
Well, Pastor Ed, they are not no spring chickens. She looked like she about great-grandma age, which means that he's about great-grandma age. So, yeah, this is another reason why you standing up before a judge talking about, I'm sorry, you know, I lied. Because who does that at this age? Who does
exactly.
that?
Exactly. And you're pulling the court into your shenanigans.
Right, right. And that man's not going for this. You know, maybe if you were 20 or something like that, you know, I'm not saying he would have put him back out on the street, but it, like you said, it's a little more understandable. But when you talk about you senior citizens, and this is what, you know what, nah.
She's fortunate he turned around and charged her.
Right. I don't know if that was, something that I would have done. I would probably had to eat that and go before the Lord, because I don't know. You know, but we talked about this yesterday, you know, admitting your guilt and now risking the fact that now you're going to be put in jail. So, yeah, she's lucky. She's lucky that he didn't give her any amount of time, even 30 days or something like that.
That's right.
Talk about getting instantaneous, payment. The man who killed the girlfriend and is burying her and now dies from a heart attack now. Pass that.
This brings what you sow to true fruition,
yes.
To life in full and living color. Reaping what you, and he reaped immediately.
Yes. God ain't gave him no time on that one. And like I said, it was funny because I just on Sunday just got finished talking to someone who asked me about that. It's like, well, you know, what if somebody does something to you and, you know, you don't see anything, you know, happening? And I said, you just got to trust God that, you know, they may look like they're okay, but they're not okay, you know, or you know, something, you know, God's plan may exceed your life, you know. You may never get to see, you know, their judgment or how God deals with them. Well, he ain't even get a chance to finish putting her in the grave before he's in there in himself. Man, pass it. Hey, I tell you.
Well, obviously he had no grace left in his bag. His grace empty completely. Wow.
Absolutely. That was a straw that broke the camel's back for God. Oh my gosh. Oh, thank you so much for joining us today, Pastor Ed. We're coming back to talk to you about some more stuff. Thank you. Let's say good morning to our Pastor Charlene. What you got to say this morning? Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning. How are you today?
Girl, after listening to these news stories, woo! You know, it's funny because now that I look at the news stories, Pastor Shaw, and I'm looking at, you know, death and, lack of judgment and saying and doing the wrong thing. You know, what are we doing here? So you got the man who, you know, Elder says, Come on, Shaw. He wakes up one day and says, come on, Shaw, you know, let's I got something for you today. You know, something we ain't never did before. Something that's going to make your head spin. People going to remember us for this. Remember us for this one. And when you leave, look how I'm going to blindfold you and drive you to where we go. And when you look, girl, you're on the side of a cliff. And he's got this rope tied around his waist. And he says, I'm going to jump. You know, don't worry about it. You know, I'm going to land properly. Here, just make sure you videotape. What are you going to say to him? Come on.
Are you you know that. Are you going to commit suicide? Are you crazy? By the time I finish screaming and hollering, I ain't taking no pictures. First of all, your insurance ain't paid up, so you don't need to do that because I ain't going to give no money.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I thought of when you was reading it, I thought about that song, I Believe I Can Fly. Then I thought about the movie with Queen. I thought about the movie with Queen Latifah when she jumped off the edge. I think it's The Last Holiday. I think that's it.
Okay.
And
okay.
I would be like, you lost your mind. Where you going? So now we're going to be struggling with the rope because I'm going to try to save you. Or either I'm going to learn how to drive, and I'm going to get in that car, the same one that you drove me to, and I'm out. So you make a choice. Let's go.
I don't know. These people are crazy. These people are crazy. I know. And my thing is, you see why men need to make just better decisions? Because this is just dumb. This was just dumb. All right, Pastor Charlotte. So you think Elder's cheating. So you go and you get his probation violated. Because you know if they hear that he hit you, left bruises on you, they locking him up. That's an instantaneous probation violation, and making sure that he gets back in there is what you're gonna do, and you get the job done. The judge says, okay, 2024 is the time when you're gonna be off probation, so you're gonna do the rest of your time, and you start feeling guilty, and now you go back before the judge, and he says, are you kidding me? What are we doing here that we make these kind of decisions and that we can now feel guilty about, but we can't retract.
Why would you think that it wouldn't backlash on you? And even in your guilt, you done got him out there. And of course he's going to say, I love her. I thought of, I'm going to love her because when I get up out of here, it's going to be, I know I'm coming back. Just hold my bag because I know I'm coming back. For you lying. You can't just lie on people. You know, so many things that happen. So many people are being abused, you know, and we get up in there and we're going to lie. Now we're going to say, you know, I'm sorry. I think they should have did something to her as well. I think she should some kind of top or something on her because of the fact that you have to start somewhere. You lied. Let's just go right there. You lied. You put this life. How many people are sitting in prison because somebody lied?
Yep.
For years.
Yep.
For years.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't make sense of how, like I saw in the news where the young man just got out because somebody lied on him, and he'd been in there since 1996. And they just released him.
Yeah.
From a lie.
Yeah. Well, I got a comeback. Remind me, I got something that I'm going to ask you, but I don't want to say anything because I don't know if Pastor KL may say it. So I'm going to put that in reserve. And we're talking about, you know, the fact that you, because Pastor Ed said the same thing. You know, she's lucky she didn't get any type of time for lying, you know, to the courts and wasting the court's time, even if he did believe her. So, you know, remind me that I need to, there's something that I want to ask about her getting time or not getting time. But this last story, you know, this man who dies, has a heart attack while he's burying the girlfriend that he just killed. You know, he then dug this ditch, found out that she was strangled. That's what happened when they did the autopsy, found out that she had been strangled. And now he didn't even make it to finish burying her.
Yeah, the first thing I thought of was, wow. I was like, that's an article that everybody needs to see of what can happen, you know, because it's true, you know, you think that nobody is getting paid back, you know, or because they did this, that, and the other to somebody else. And you do, you reap what you sow. And that's an article that I'm going to try to find, see if I can get somebody to pull it up for me and to show people how God is real, you know, because people be, you know, in their own feelings. I can't even imagine that you killed somebody and you have a heart attack just like that. I was like, wow. Though every time, while you was reading, I was like, wow. I've never, yep. You know, but it shows us. It shows us that God is in control. And anytime something can happen, anytime, in the mix of it, it happens.
Yep, absolutely, Pastor Charlotte, absolutely. We ain't got to wait till it's all over. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're coming back to continue our conversation. And let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. How are you doing over there?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Good. So you got Mrs. Frazier, who comes home from work, and you say, hey, babe, you know what? I got just the adventure for us, you know, trying to increase my views on social media, and I know the way to do it. And when she looks, you then blindfolded her and took her to this cliff and said, all right, all you got to do, I'm not asking you to do this thing with me, but all I need you to do is I need you to just hold the camera and videotape me as I jump off this cliff. We're going to get the notoriety. What is she saying to you?
Well, first of all, I'm going to go along with the game because we ain't walking up no cliffs. We ain't walking to the corner. That's first of all, not in Alabama. So we're going to go ahead and play the game. Let's suppose I'm 30 pounds lighter. And I decide I want to walk up. Did we say up a cliff? Okay, let's say I want to do this. My wife is going to turn into Job and say, you sound like a foolish man. So it's not going to happen for us. Listen, I can't jump down a flight of steps, let alone jump off a cliff and think that I'm going to survive. If I jump off two steps, I'm going to break my ankle. So, no, that's not going to be the will of God for my life.
Oh, my goodness. You know, such an unwise decision. And I'm coming back to that. Because I'm going to make this a church folk thing today. Now, we're talking about the liar. The liar who... you know, she's mad because she believes that you're cheating on her and she gets your probation violated. And now she's feeling bad because she's got to live without you since 2000 until 2024. And she takes her chances and she goes back before the judge, but he doesn't believe her story. And she says, but he didn't do it. I was mad. I thought he was cheating on me. And, you know, please let him out. Yo, this is not preschool, you know, where you're playing games with the court's time. What's going on with these people, Pastor KL?
Yeah, I think it's actually totally ridiculous. I'm with the panel. There's so much stuff that's going on, and we can barely get a court date, you know, for other things. And here we are allowing you to get a court date. Now we feel bad for you, and we're believing your crying wolf story, and we take what we think is, you know, good actions and saving you and helping you. And now you come back to waste our time even more. I say you both need to be in jail. You both. I'm not letting him out, but I'm putting you in because now you're wasting the time of the court. You know, you're wasting the judge's time. You know, not only that, you're taking up somebody else's space who could have had their say in court, but now has been pushed back because you're on the docket for nonsense. No, I think just because you cried wolf, you need to go to jail.
All righty. So you're with the other two. Everybody need to be sitting up in jail right now. All righty. Well,
how about kill your girlfriend? You put her in the truck. Now, this just goes to show you either how much she weighed or you were weak to begin with. You put her in the truck and drive around to the back of your house, or how much property he had that he was able to dig this ditch in the backyard. Put her in the truck, drive her around, throw her in, and in the process, you die of a heart attack. What is God potentially saying?
He just gave revelation to vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He just gave total revelation to it. You know, I mean, you might think you're getting away with something, and sometimes the family wants justice, but God said, just hold your peace and let me fight your battles. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a lingering church folk question that I was going to do today. But as we started talking, thank you so much for joining us, Pastor KL. As we started talking, you know, I started thinking about some things. And you know, one of the things I wanted to ask is, and I'll start with you, Pastor Ed, you know, The Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. You know, this woman who went out on this cliff with her husband to fulfill this crazy fantasy, is this a good wife?
I'll say this, she didn't exhibit wisdom and strength, because when we talk about finding a good thing, you know, our wives can make the difference between our stupidity and our foolishness. They, as they say, they can talk us off the cliff, off the edge, literally.
Yep.
You know, I don't know what she was thinking, unless, like you say, she was definitely blindfolded. But even once we were on the cliff, she should have brought in that reason. Listen, you got me, you got this child here. If you, whatever happens to you, what's going to happen to us? You know, something to bring his mind back to reality and to sensibility. So she kind of, you know, I'm not going to put it all on her, but she kind of slipped in that area. Because trust me, I promise you, Rain is going to talk. First of all, we would have never gotten on the cliff. But I promise you, she's definitely going to talk me off of it.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I put it the way I did for all three of you. You know, all three of you are married, you know, and you have these spouses. And, you know, it's one thing when we did the story before, it was this man who took his daughter out on the cliff to, you know, prove something to her or show her something or whatever he was doing that particular day. But for you to be standing out there with your wife and your child, you know, I don't know. I ain't going to say much more. But Pastor Charlotte, you know, if you go back to this Bible verse, you know, is this a good thing? Did he find a good thing? You know, are you looking at it as, you know, well, you know, everybody makes mistakes and this is a slip, you know, she, you know, you know, Pastor Ed put it nicely, you know, he says, you know, she slipped up, you know, what's your thought?
My thought would be that, would God not just only being there for us, but would God be pleased? And by us knowing of having that conversation with him, really, I wouldn't be, we wouldn't even get to the cliff, actually, because I'm nosy and I want to know where you're taking me. So in the mix of that being said, that with the wisdom, I agree, of being able to see the knowledge and what is in his head, and how did we get here that you thought that it would be okay. So as as the woman of being at that moment, you need to lead, take the lead to be able to minister to him and to bring him back to his senses. Because right now you're not in the right state of mind, and we are forgetting all about God. So during that time, you know, it will go even a little further than that, because now that where she's able to minister to him, to see not only where is he at, but for him to be able to snap back. He snapped out of place, but that puts you into where you have to stay grounded.
Okay. Pastor KL, you know, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. But, you know, do you feel that, you know, this is – what's your thought? Let me put it that way. What's your thought? Pastor Ed says, you know, she slipped – you know, Pastor Charlene said, you know, she should have been on her game. You know, what's your thought? You know, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. What do you think?
Well, I think he who finds a black wife knows that we ain't going up no hill. Listen, first of all, if I could just be honest, you're not going to blindfold a black woman long enough for her to walk up all the way up to the edge. Every 5 seconds, she's going to want to know where we're going. First of all, if you tie it too tight, it's going to be around her hair. You're already messing up her hair. So she ain't doing that. Okay? So, and then, you know, we're not playing Jack and Jill went up the hill. You know, Jack fell down and broke more than his crown. No. And now Jill got the insurance. We're not going through all that. It's not going to happen. Yes, she should have made me come to my senses and said, listen, look what you're doing. This is definitely not of God, preacher. I see my wife likes to throw that up in my face in a minute. Hey, Rev, you thinking about this, Rev? This ain't what we doing, Rev. I'm KL when I'm talking about right mind. When I come out of my right mind, hey, Rev, you think this is what we want to do? We really want to go up this hill? So, yeah, it wouldn't have happened like that.
And you pushed right into where I was going next. How many times has she talked you out of something that you thought was brilliant? And
right. She
had to literally say, yo, you know, you need to catch this thought here. I'm going to start with Pastor Charlene on this round, Pastor Kale. I'm coming back to you, you know, because that's exactly where I was going. You know, this is not, you know, here's my thought. And that's why I said I want to ask this. This is not his first time being reckless, Pastor Charlene. Ain't no way in the world you go from being calm to wanting to play out on a cliff. It don't work like that. There's some gradation going on. And, I mean, how many times have you had to say to Elder, yo, you know what? You need to catch this story because – I don't know. You may want to rethink this thing because this ain't a smart move right now.
Yes, and we have been there because I will go and say, well, we need to go to the Word of God to see if it's going to line up with God. And, you're right. I think that it wasn't the first for him to get to that extreme, you know, and what happens is when we let the little things slide by, and then you don't approach the little thing, you know, and that was my fault as well. When you just shook it off like, okay, you know, it's a moment, you know, and you let it go by. And now before you know it, you have turned around and now it became something that's big and major where you could have stopped it a long time ago.
Absolutely. Pastor KL, excuse me, Rev. You know, Pastor, like you said, you know, she's throwing up that flag. You know, did you really think this thing through?
here? You know, how many times has she had to stop you? You know, because again, if I don't nip this in the bud now, you are going to end up on, you know, a cliff for real, as we can see, or the cliff of in your mind, or whether it's a virtual cliff or not.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I've wasted a lot of money. You know, there was one year when I bought his and her Mercedes, and I think out of 5 years, I drove mine 3 times. So now every time
wow.
I try to buy a car, she's like, "Really? You want to buy another car for it to sit here? For it to just it's just gonna sit here?" You know, I mean, I've done some things. Hey, let's get a food truck. Now, I don't want to cook in my own house sometimes. I'm going to go around and eat in a food truck, you know. But you know, really, that's what you want to do? Park a food truck in front of the house, you know. My house value will go down. Everybody going to be knocking on the door talking about you got ribs. You know, is this what you want to do? You know. So, you know, I've had some, in my mind, some good schemes, some good let's get rich schemes, but you know, my attention span with some of these things are not that long. So I don't like it for today. Like I wanted to buy a boat, you know, to go fishing. Now since I've been in Alabama, I went fishing twice. You know, I don't know how that's gonna work out. You know what I mean? But I wanted the boat. And then for me, I get mad when she comes up with the logic. Like, no, we shouldn't do this. I get mad. And my first thing is, you just don't want me to be great. You know, it's my money, you know what I'm saying? And I want it now. You don't want me to be great. You know, I see. You're really a hater. I see you're really a hater. You know what I mean? Because I can get a boat, and you can't get a boat. You're really a hater. You know, so, yeah, we talk through some stuff.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Thank God for Javon. Oh, because listen, I'm your friend and know that ain't going to work but for 5 minutes. I got to be your wife. I'm like, punk, really?
You a hater, too. You a hater. You've been a hater all my life. You a hater. You a hater that's been saved by grace.
Oh my goodness gracious. Pastor Ed. Now you another one where I know quite well. And how many times had this wife had, thank God for he who finds a wife finds a good thing, and I pay
yes,
the favor
yes,
from the
Lord.
Lord.
Yes, Lord. And you know, Pastor KL is right, because Pastor KL, I get so mad. I'm so annoyed because in my mind, I've got it all planned out, and it's going to work perfectly, and we just need to do this thing. But experience is a good teacher. I don't care how annoyed I am. If she gives that look or that comment, I was like, oh, let me go rethink. I'm mad, but I'm going to rethink it. And ultimately, I'm going to listen because experience is a good teacher. I'm like, no, we're not going down this road. I know the look. I know the sound. I know the response. I'm annoyed, but I'm like, okay, yeah, we're not doing this again. Because I remember the last time. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Oh my goodness! You know, and it's something that I thought about, you know, as you all were talking, and even with this woman who lied, you know, who lied on her husband, you know, who got that angry with him that she didn't even care, you know, she knew the repercussions. Remember now, she's saying that she purposely told this lie to get him locked back up, based on the fact that she thought he had been cheating on her. And, you know, for some women, that's like the, and I'm not, for most women, that's like the worst thing you could do in the world. Now, here's the thing. If she's a senior citizen now,
Then back in 2019, she was a senior citizen. What were we thinking? You know, as a seasoned wife, you know, what are we thinking? And Shantice's tip of appreciate spiritual wisdom kicks in. It kicks in here, Pastor KL, because now you purposely did something that knew would violate his probation and send him back to jail. And if you're the wife, then you know how long he's going to have to do before he's going to, you know, come out. What were we thinking about? Is this appreciating your spiritual wisdom? Is this a godly woman move?
No, not at all. This is a woman scorn move. That's what this is. This is a woman that's been hurt. And the crazy part about it, because according to your story, he wasn't cheating, so you didn't have no facts. You know, this is what you felt. You know, this is what your woman's intuition told you. Or this is what your girl told you. Girl, if that was me, this is what I'd do. You know, this is the advice that you get from the world, from the natural man. You know, we don't even step into the spiritual realm because we allow the natural to take over. And now here you are when you finally came to yourself and realize what you've done, and you had to repent. Now you're trying to make it right. You know, you're trying to make it right because it's hard. This is a hard pill for you to swallow, because you got to live with this. You know, you got an innocent man who's trying to do good, and evil happens to be me present all the time. You know, so it's hard. A lot of times we can't even do good without somebody condemning us from something that we used to do from our past. And now this is what you've done. And now that you try to make it right, don't nobody want to hear from you because you're the boy that cried wolf. How many times you go cry? You want us to listen to you now? We fixed your problem. Now, unfortunately, there was no problem. So now you have to eat this. You have to deal with it. Eat the whole loaf.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. We're going to take Pastor Ed last because that's going to be his final word for today. Pastor Sharlin, you know, what are we talking about here? You know, we're supposed to be the wise wife. We're supposed to be that good thing. They're supposed to obtain favor from the Lord. And now you're the problem. And you're such the problem that you have been allowed to go ahead, tell your story, and now you put the nail in the coffin for your husband. Where's that spiritual... Where's that appreciating that spiritual wisdom? Where is that?
Well, it's not there because we know that lying God hates. So, therefore, you already didn't do that. And in the mix of it, I thought about her being hurt before. So she took the lie and she assumed of something that might have triggered her from her past that she never got over. So she figured that if he's cheating on me, he won't cheat on me no more, and he won't cheat with nobody. So she just put that big lie out there on him. I still say that, you know, she has to be responsible enough. Now, guilt had sunk in for her, and that's why she decided that, you know, I want to tell the truth, but sometimes it'd be too late, you know, and now that he has to suffer for it, so where does that fit you? So now everybody knows that you lied because he done told people as well. So nobody's going to ever trust you. Nobody. Old, you're going to die as a liar. That'd be your new title.
Wow.
Old liar.
Wow, wow. You took it there, Pastor Charlotte. Oh, my, 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 my. I'm still coming back to a statement you just got finished making. Pastor Ed, you know, again, you know, switch tip yesterday. Appreciate spiritual wisdom. You know, here again, we have a wife who's supposed to have your back, you know, who's supposed to have, you know, as you and Pastor KL have said, you know, you've taken me, you know, from a crazy thought into a more, you know, sane, logical thought. But now you're the nail in my coffin. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, it's very clear that she abandoned any type of spiritual wisdom. Because my thing is, okay, if you had these you suspected him. What happened with us having a conversation? Because maybe that conversation would have led to giving you enough time for your rational sensibility, for spiritual wisdom to come back in. Either way that the judge looked at it, this woman is a liar. Either she lied the first time or she's lying now. And the bottom line is he's like, I'm not dealing with the liar. And it was really a backhanded sentence because whatever case she was lying in, you're not going to be with your husband. He's going to be locked up. So what have you accomplished in all of this foolishness? The fact that she, the first thing she went to was, I'm going to lie so I can get back at him, shows that spiritual wisdom wasn't kicking in. It shows that her flesh was kicking in and she was being selfish, thinking about, you know, what she's going to gain out of it, when the truth of it is that's how the devil fools you. He makes you think you're gaining something, and in the end you find out you've been tricked and you've lost everything. So in either case, whether he was cheating, whether he wasn't, she's lost access to her husband in that relationship. And even though he said he loves her, she's lost that trust as well. So foolishness all around, and she's reaping the benefits of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for joining us, Pastor Ed.
Thank you.
That's right. Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us today. So happy to have you with us. We know you got to go pay the bills, and we pray you have a blessed day.
You all have a blessed day as well.
Thank you, thank you. Pastor Charlene and Pastor KL, I want to put this out there and get your thought as we close up on this conversation here. You know, both of you have said she deserves to spend time in jail, which that's exactly where my mind went. And she's lucky she did not get a judge who, you know, either put her in jail for at least 30 days for wasting the court's time, either the first go round or the second go round. And my question is, do you think that there's a possibility that the Lord said, I'm going to leave you with the guilt, because that, no matter where you go, no matter where you sit, if you went on vacation to the Sandals Resort, all-inclusive resort that we talked about later, if you went to the moon, if you stayed at home, or if you got put in jail, you are still going to have to live with that guilt, and that guilt is your punishment. That is much greater than any jail cell, physical jail cell she could be sitting in, because she is literally sitting in the jail cell of her heart and mind. What's your thought, Pastor Charlene?
Absolutely, absolutely, because that would eat at you, and plus that it would torment you through the night as well, you know, and you won't get no sleep, and it will make you sick, you know, because of the fact that no matter what you look at, you know, no matter which way you go, you have lied, and that guilt will eat you from the inside out. And where that, I've seen people where that the guilt had made them not just physically sick, but mentally sick as well. And where that it's like they, where they hear voices, Jesus help me, what's it called? You know what I mean? Yes, and, you know, they're hearing voices, and where that it just does a whole lot to them, where they don't take care of themselves, and they go into this dark, real deep, 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 dark place, you know, of how guilt had really ate them up because of a lie, you know. So, yes, it is worse off than for you just to go into jail time. Absolutely.
All righty. Pastor KL, you know, as you said, you know, hey, she needs to go to jail. And we actually, I happen to agree with you as well. You know, is this a worse sentence, being left feeling guilty sitting at home?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, because the
your mind is in prison. You know, during the day, you know, you get to do things that may take your mind off of certain things. But when you find yourself by yourself, when you're laying down in that bed, and even the pillows don't want to be in bed with you, so you're all by yourself, and you turn around and he's not there, and then you have to face the real reason on why he's not there. He's not there because he's out cheating. Because now you know where he is. He's not running around with other women. He's not going to the bars. He's not at the club. You know exactly where he is and why he's there, and you have to deal with that. And that right there is more torment, I believe, than you sitting behind bars. Because even behind bars, you got roommates. And you'll be talking to them, and you can make up excuses, or you can make up lies and tell more lies. But now when you're by yourself, you have to face the lie. You have to now listen to the lie that's tormenting, and you have to rewind this lie that you said over and over and over again. And even when you tried to clear the lie wouldn't let it be cleared.
Wow. Absolutely, absolutely. Both of you have made very, very, very good points. Thank you so much for joining us today and contributing to our conversation. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Likewise.
You do the same. Thank you. All right. We're at the top of our morning, and we have some room to just invite another guest on today. Let's say good morning to our brother Al. Good morning, brother Al. Brother Al, are you talking to the mute button?
It's funny you said that. I did, too, and I wasted all that energy, so I got to re-bring it back up. Good morning, top of the morning. I'm saying all that, and that until you talk to the mute button. Good morning. Everything is everything. Well, you know how we do. You know, we always got the birthday. We got our favorite people on, and we definitely want to give a birthday shout-out. You know, it's like I always say, I can't sing, but I can rap. So this is a special rap going out to one of our most faithful and loyal listeners, Auntie Brenda. All right, here we go. Hey, Auntie Brenda, I know you're listening. Happy birthday to a beautiful Christian. The word on the street, you're always dressed to impress, whether you're going to work or you're going to church. I heard you listen every day, 5 days a week, especially on Friday. You love to hear the men speak. I heard you're the mother of two, the grandmother of three. Good luck with that, because that's five, you see. But that's okay. I heard you holding it down. Keep doing what you're doing. You're heaven bound. You're the oldest of six. Your pastor, mom, you assist. You're a dedicated listener. We appreciate it. So once again, happy birthday to you from Pastor Steph and the entire crew. Happy birthday, Auntie Brenda. May God bless you to see 1,000 more. We love you. Keep listening. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Brother Al. We surely appreciate you, and we pray you have a blessed day. I saw you did your homework. I was like, yo.
You're not going to do my homework. I always got to do my homework.
Wow, that is fantastic.
Look, she had a lot of stuff going on. If I did all the stuff she said, we'd have been here another 30 minutes. So I just shortened it up.
Oh, that's nice. You did a fine job. Thank you so much, and we give God thanks for you, and we pray you have a blessed day.
Yeah. Okay, you too.
Love you too. Thank you. Oh, happy birthday, Auntie Brenda. You know, from the beginning of It's Due Time, Auntie Brenda and Auntie Pam are always on every single morning. You know, we lost one of our dedicated listeners, but we must celebrate our two that are still here. We give God thanks for you. And the Brother Al did his research. He didn't talk about how many kids and grandkids and the fact that you dressed and all. Yeah. Wow. That is fantastic. We love you. We thank you. You are why we do what we do. You're encouraging. You pay attention. You know, I crack up when I speak to the two of them, and they're going back and forth over, you know, the segments and the things, and, you know, and Auntie Brenda's repeating some of the stuff that we hear, you know, that you do time crew members do all the time. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to have, you know, those who are just, you know, dedicated to tuning in. Auntie Brenda says, thank you so much, Due Time Crew, and God bless you all. You're welcome. You're welcome. Giving God thanks for your life, and we pray that God continues to bless you with many, many more. So we have come to the time where we hold hands and we hold hearts, and we are going to go before the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, as you are always so good to us. We can always rely on you to take care of us. And as those who are walking in your will and your way, we clearly understand that, you know, there are just some things that we may do that may not be pleasing in your sight. And you will deal with us accordingly. We also understand that you reward those who are faithful to you and who live according to your will and your way. And we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, because regardless of which side of the fence we fall on, we know you are a just God. And you will do us much better than man could ever do with us or for us. And we thank you for just always being there. We thank you for always being that righteous judge. As no matter which way we go in life, you know, when we fall, you just pick us up and help us dust ourselves off. And, you know we can always come to you for forgiveness. And we know that you're always there to hear our cry. We know you're always there to clean up the mess. And, Lord, that's what we talked about this morning. What a mess. What a mess. What a mess in these stories. But you are just an amazing God that no matter which way we find ourselves, no matter which condition we find ourselves in, that we know that you are always in the repair business. That you'll always just fix whatever it is we need done. And, Lord, we're just going to pray for the wife and the son who actually watched husband and dad plummet to his death, supporting something that was so reckless. And we ask you just to allow that counsel to ease some of the pain, that you would, you know, give them healing, especially the child, you know, something that that child will never forget. And we ask you, God, to just, you know, repair his heart and his mind, that he can move on and live a very fruitful and productive life, because there's nothing that says that he can't. Lord, we're going to ask you to be with the wife of this man who was reckless, as well as the wife who lied on this on her husband, that the both of them fell and did not help the situation. Not, you know, for the husband who was reckless, you know, just could not talk him out of, or, you know, we don't even know how much she tried, but we know, God, that, you know, maybe this was part of her lack of, you know, we look at the woman who lied, who understood that her husband was on probation from something he had done, a bad decision nonetheless,
and who she put back in jail. And she, because of her feeling and thoughts, made a bad decision. And we pray, God, that you just help these women recover from what they've done or lack thereof or the lack thereof. And we thank you, God, again, for just being that repairman, that maintenance man that just helps us get from one point to the next. And, Lord, we watch how your vengeance is just there. And whether we live to see it or not, we trust you and know that you're a faithful God that will reward the good as well as the bad. Lord, we're asking you, as today's Auntie Brenda's birthday, we give you thanks for her seeing another year in her life, that even though her health may not be at 100%, but you are still a very merciful, tender-loving, kind, good, great God. And we thank you for just sustaining her just another year through the pandemic, through all of the other illnesses and loss of life, that she's still here. And we pray that she just continues to move forward with you first on her mind, getting the first fruits of whatever it is she has to offer you. And we're giving you thanks for all the lives that she's touched, all the lives that she has helped to change. And we pray that you continue to just bless her going forward. We thank you, God, for our due time crew. And we thank you, God, for just helping us to help your people. Thank you, God, for Brother Al, who you are giving such a kind, loving, and educated word, that even through all of this, we can show love in any shape, form, or fashion. You have done so much with this little group, and we're so grateful to you, God. And we love you for loving us and taking care of us. And we continue to give you the glory and honor. So lightly do your name. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You know, these stories, you know, last night when I got these stories, you know, I was really just kind of blown away at you know, just where people's heads are. And we talk about this all the time. And, you know, we talk about, you know, giving God thanks that we're not the victim. And this is just another way and another time and another reason for us to give God thanks that we're not the perpetrator, that we're not the guilty one. You know, again, Shanti just gave, appreciate your spiritual wisdom. And this is exactly what the opening entails, you know, to piggyback off of what she talked about yesterday. You know, you have three people today. You know, we talked about just three people who were very unwise. And we don't know if they lived godly lives and this was just a slip up, you know, or we don't know if they don't know God. But let's just say they don't know God. Well, this is another reason why we need to appreciate our spiritual wisdom. Because, again, these are the times. These are the things. These are some of the things that can happen when you do not operate under spiritual wisdom. There is nothing that says we did not want to tell that lie. Not maybe on our husband, on a co-worker, on a brother or sister, you know, someone who we wanted to get back at because we were so angry with them and they had annoyed us so much. And, you know, it's so easy to slip into that. It's so easy to slip into, you know, just saying what we need to say in order to get the satisfaction that we need. And God, being the righteous judge he is allowing her to stew in this lie. That, like one of the panel said, even when it was time for you to tell the truth, it wasn't even accepted. And that's how you know that God has a hand in this. That even when you went to tell the truth, you know, because we were encouraged by the word of God that says, you know what, okay, so if we go one way, as soon as we figure it out, we have to go the other way. So for whatever the reason is, she decided, because she wanted her husband home with her now, because she was really feeling guilty, but because somebody talked her into it, whatever it was, she decided she wanted to go back and make it right. Well, you didn't get an opportunity, because if God has ordained that this would be your punishment, again, being in prison in your mind and your heart is 10 times worse than being imprisoned in a jail. You know, I have said so many times to people, you know what, you'd be better being locked up physically. Because when you're walking these streets and you're in prison, you're behind those invisible bars, that's 10 times worse. Because you don't even realize you locked up sometimes. That you may have all this freedom, quote unquote, but in actuality, you have no freedom at all. So it's very, very easy to believe that this could be, you know, God's way of saying, you gonna eat this, or you gonna eat this one. You'll never lie again. And sometimes God got to do us like that. Allow us to stew in that one error that will never make that mistake again. And, you know, we are grateful, you know, to God for these examples. You know, because I'm going to tell you something. These were three examples. You talk about the wife who went on a cliff with her husband. Now, we're going to assume that, you know, she did do the best she could. Let's just, you know, she talked, but she couldn't talk him out of this. Then it's easy to believe that you could never do anything because maybe you never did anything. And as has been said, you know, maybe you didn't put your foot down soon enough. And if this is the case, she's got to live with that for the rest of her life. Because you did not do what God needed you to do. When he wanted to buy that food truck, you said, go ahead. And when he wanted to buy those two Mercedes, you said, okay. And when he wanted to, you know, do something else, you said, okay. You didn't put your foot down. You didn't, you know, follow what you needed to follow. And now you're going to eat that. You're going to eat that. You'll never get an opportunity to do it again. We just got finished talking about the wife who lied on her husband. You know, we talk about the man who was burying, you know, the woman he just killed, and he didn't even live. He didn't even live to bury her. So somebody could have said, well, dang, he didn't even live, so he could have spent that time in jail. Well, jail wasn't on God's mind. He could have put him in jail. Could have let him get caught. Some same neighbors could have seen him doing something that was questionable and called the authorities. But he didn't allow it to go like that. His will said, I'm taking you out of here. So if these are not three lessons for us today, then we will never learn. Because we're talking about three very different lessons regardless of the similarities. And that's something that we have to think about. What are we doing that could possibly be making God unhappy, and we are not even going to be given a chance to fix it? You know why? Because he's given a chance already. You know, the Bible tells us that there is no temptation to man. There is no temptation that is uncommon to man, but that man would not give a way out. There's an opportunity that God's going to give you a way out. He didn't have to kill her. Whatever he was unhappy with, leave. Put her out. You know, you could have done so many other things, but you opted to take her life. And it was strangulation. We're not even talking about maybe you smacked her or pushed her and her head hit something, and now, you know,
you have to deal with, oh, man, you know, I didn't intend for her, you know, to go, but she ended up, you know, hitting her head, and now you have to deal with that. No, we ain't talking about that. We're talking about you strangled her. You intended for her to die. And God said, and so shall you. So, you know, we don't know if when he had the heart attack, you know, because people don't have a heart attack and die right away all the time. We don't know how long he was laying on his face before God took that breath from him, that he had an opportunity to even think about what he don't know. We have no idea. But like I said, if we look at story one, we look at story two, we look at story three, yeah, there is a lesson to be learned, and we need to consider what we are doing from moment to moment and question before we do it, is this acceptable to God? Because for the woman to go on the cliff with her husband, yeah, I'm going to tell you something. If he fell, it wouldn't have been by me watching. I'll tell you that much. If this is what he thought was going to be an escapade that he was going to surprise me with, or he's going to get more views or whatever the situation was, oh, no, it wouldn't have happened. Somebody would have had to tell me that he didn't make it, because me and my son would have been in that car or walked back down that cliff. You would have been out here on your own. And maybe that may have stopped him. Maybe that would have made the difference between whether he went ahead with this plan or not. You know, you if you put an X-ray on each one of these situations, there's something to be learned, many somethings to be learned, something for you to question. Am I the wife that God is calling me to be? I may not watch my husband out on a ledge or a cliff. I may not watch my husband or put my husband in jail by telling a lie. But am I the wife that God has called me to be? Maybe up until today, you never rethought anything you've done until you heard this story. What's in these stories for you? Because I keep saying, God don't give us these news stories for nothing. There are tons of news stories out here. Pastor Steph only brings you up to maybe four. Maybe we get in five stories based on how long or how detailed, you know, the story is. But we got to wonder why God gives us these stories here on this new time. Well, I tell you, if ever there were three stories put into one episode, here or not, these three really stuck out today and was easy to convert to church folk conversation. We didn't have to figure out how we were going to tie it in. And that's why I said, you know, I had a church folk question, and we will probably get to it next week unless God says otherwise. But, and so I haven't forgotten it. Listen, it is. So let's get ourselves together, okay, and make sure we're doing the things that God has called us to do. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my due time crew for just delivering as always. Thank you for hanging out with us today and being part of our lives. Please make sure you accept this, take this time to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, where is Wild Wednesday? God's been our life. I love you.